Blog Talk Radio.
We're on the clock. How you doing, Scott? How long you want to go tonight?
Well, we can shoot for an hour, and then
I just made it for an hour and a half, but I'll take it back to an hour. Okay.
It
didn't take it back.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we got some sunshine. I guess that's a good thing, right?
Is it?
And I'm thinking it is. But I hear words with that over a wet week, so I'm not looking forward to it. I'm glad you got your lawn done because you're going to need it again this weekend.
Oh, I'm going to probably have to cut it a couple times a week now. Where am I?
Holy cow.
You know, I've got paper all over my desk. I can't find a thing. And I still can't find a thing. Take over for a minute, Scotty.
Sure, go ahead. All righty. Oh, so hopefully we'll have some of the people coming on the show tonight, and we'll go from there. I think we're going to talk about what's coming up on the contract and the upcoming contract and the fights going on there, Volkswagen, and the involvement down there with the union and what seems to be happening with that right now. There's a big push. I've seen some other people who are talking about that right now and supporting the people down there in Volkswagen who want to vote yes for the union, and that there's a lot of opposition coming from the management. I think the American CEO is pushing hard against the UAW's organizing drive, if I remember right.
Let me hold on, Scott. I'm back. Let me get Jimmy on. Jim, you're on. Scott, continue. You two have fun. I think I catch a flu through you, Scott. Got me feeling sick again. I've been sick 2 weeks. That's got to be you. Go ahead.
That's got to be me.
I'm going to turn off the microphone.
You there, Jimmy?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm not doing too bad.
That thing down in Chattanooga, didn't that get postponed for a brief time or some crap? And I see the governor's jumping and playing his bullshit.
I think so. I believe anybody has the right to organize. I really do.
And, let me get John. John, you're on too.
Oh, hi, John.
Hey, guys.
I think anybody has the right to organize. We are not anti-union on this show. That's the bottom line.
Amen.
How we perceive our discussion, we're not anti-union. And we don't condone violence. Okay, we don't. We know historically things that have happened in the past, and we know that history does repeat itself. So I'm going to say about that.
There's a lot of people that think we're anti-union, and we're not.
Yes, there is.
But we're anti-people that run the son of a bitch into the ground and steal from the membership, like they did with Norwood Jewel and Chrysler. You hurt the folks that work at Chrysler big time. So, yeah, I'm against those people. How dare you come up to me and tell me I'm anti-union.
We are pro-union here, like it used to be.
We just want to get back some of the things we've given up trying to save these companies who have now went to Mexico and overseas. And if you look at the money Mary Barra's net worth, what was it? $87 billion? That's B with a B, folks. I mean, that's also she became GM because before that she was, it said she was $1.78 million.
You done all right for herself.
General Motors did good for her.
Yeah, on back of everybody that sweats every day doing the job.
They didn't remember now. They didn't leave a damn dime on the table between the crooks on one side and the thieves on the other. Hell, right. I can tell you that they didn't leave shit.
That's right.
And then did you see that crap going on down there with Dow Chemical in Texas? They voted it down, what was it, 96% first time, and then the second time, like 90%. They want to, I don't know, it was anyway, they locked them up. Did you see that, Scott?
Yeah. This unfair labor practice lockout by the Rome and Haas Texas Incorporated, a wholly owned subsidiary of Dow Chemical Company, against USW Local 13-1. They are locked out.
And that's what I think our contract's going to be about, is what that one is. If you look at it, it's really about increased throughput with wage stagnation. They want you to wait. They're asking them people to go from 10 hours a day to 11.5 a day, which will eliminate a shift. They want them to work six
right.
days a week and take a $2 pay cut. Well, that really makes a lot of sense to do all that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, since the last time we were on this show, does this person, an ex-mayor of Flint, Don Williamson, had passed away?
Yes, he passed.
And I feel bad when anybody dies. Don't get me wrong, I do. I feel bad for his wife and his family and all that sort of stuff. But you know, they really poised him up on the news and TV and stuff. How great of a person he was. They showed how much he helped out at church and stuff. But you know, I don't know about if you remember Jim. I'm sure Don does. Back about. I'm going to take 10.
Oh, hold on for a minute, Scotty. Hold on for a minute. Hey, your dog, Scott.
Yeah.
Would you do me a favor? Drop your drawers. I won't finish the rest, but I think you got the drift.
He's actually outside.
Shut that son of a bitch up.
I don't want to shoot him. But anyway,
Don
Williamson. Don Williamson. I'm going to shut him up. Don Williamson.
Have you heard of the Flint Water?
Do you remember when in November, I'm trying to think, the company, God help me out, we had some union people out there, and they were picketing.
Oh, yeah.
And he went out there in November, and he brought in water trucks, and he sprayed those picketers down with water.
Oh,
yeah, he was nasty. He was nasty.
Now that you say that, I do remember that. But I think you're going to find he was involved in part of the cover-up on the Flint water crisis.
That wouldn't have surprised me.
Well, it came out that the Obama administration's EPA knew all about it, too, but they kept it quiet. That came out with a federal judge. No, I've got the paper. Federal judge came out and exposed the situation, and they didn't do a thing about it. I'm just letting you know that it's not just the local. I thought it was just local people. I didn't know it went all the way to the White House.
That's something.
Yeah. So it puts another light on the situation. So now the lawsuit that people filed, the judge let it go through because there's evidence that Obama's EPA, I'm not saying President Obama knew. I'm just saying the EPA knew.
Right.
All right. Continue on, young man.
Oh, so, I mean, there's been a lot of things happening. I mean, excuse me, I hope we all had a good Easter. Had time with your friends, your family, whatever, and nothing else. You had most of the people got a 4-day weekend. I'm glad that you get the opportunity to enjoy that, but Bowling Green's getting an investment, I see. And, you know, Marty was
plus 400 jobs.
Yeah. They're adding shipping production and over 400 new bargaining unit jobs to this investment. So that's good news for local 2164 in their community. You get a plus and then you get a minus somewhere else. You guys hear about the Falcon Transport?
Yeah, I did. That's a very interesting thing there.
It is just something. This was the statement that they came out with, and they sent it to everybody. It's crazy, man. I mean, absolutely crazy. And it reads, "All Falcon employees, we regret to inform you that Falcon Transport Company is not able to continue operations and will be shutting down effective today. Please stop any work you are doing for the company immediately. You are not expected to return to work.
Wow.
Please be on the lookout for further information we will be sending regarding this situation. Again, Falcon has closed as of today."
Damn.
Boom.
Isn't that nice?
With
no warning at all? Aren't they? How many employees do they have?
585 drivers and 723 vehicles.
Aren't they required to give a 90-day warning to the federal government or something, to some kind of government entity that they're closing?
I don't know, but Ford's saying the company's 3 weeks behind on pay anyway.
Oh, wow.
Most of their trucks ran out of fuel on their last way on drive back home. Wow.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. If they tell me not to come back to work and I didn't have to return anything, man, I'll be damned if I'd return a $200,000 rig. That was my thought.
It would be in my pole barn right now. That's where it'd be.
Wow.
Yeah, they just cut it up.
Yeah.
And that's that company. Yeah, they're in Youngstown also.
Wow. That's too bad.
They said that the closure of Lordstown was going to really impact them. And I think it did.
Oh, it's going to impact what they say. There was like 20-some companies, Scott, that
it's
one guy.
Domino. Yeah, it's a domino
effect. Yeah, it's a domino effect.
Cut the head of the snake off, everything else fails.
Right. Right.
I did see a real brief thing about Ashton, but then it dropped off. Just when it started to sink, it was like somebody turned the fan on and swapped it underneath the floor mat. Can't find shit.
Really?
Yeah, it said that they were looking at Ashton and the flower fund money that led his way, and then it just stopped.
Wow.
You know, because if that goes all the way back to the general, if you look who was around when the general was around, you've got Ashton, you've got the Rapsons, I can't remember the. Brian Keller mentioned his name last week or 2 weeks ago, and I can't ever remember that guy's name, but him and Cal were like two peas in the same pot of whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
You know, so
that's
I don't know.
You're right. There was something. The Detroit News talked about it. It's got Ashton and Cindy Asadas. Picture on it.
Yep. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
But then it evaporated. That's just like Laws 360 now on most of everything I find on umpire decisions. You got to give them people $10 a month to read the crap. And I'm like, I can't do that.
Really?
Yeah, most of the umpire decisions now you got to pay that. It says Law 360 Law.
Huh.
You know, I don't know. I used to be able to see that crap, but I don't know.
Right.
Can't see it no more. So anyway, I tried to stay up on that crap because there's, you know, really a lot of stuff is changing for is that, I don't know what you want to call it, contract employee and secondary supervision and who can control who and whose plant. Man, every other week they're making a change on that.
Right.
You know, I don't know, Scott. Now, they told us at our meeting that they over at FAB, they're getting ready to gear up to kick up, but they're saying they want to run 7,000 vehicles a day, and we're going to ship to Fort Wayne. I didn't think we were going to do that crap no more, didn't they? Because
yeah.
Now they're going to bring that lower-tiered people, what do you call them, GM Holdings, and they're going to make
yeah.
those cars.
Hmm. That'd be real interesting. I'm out of touch with that. And
well, I got to make sure it's true. I got to make sure it's true. But if it's true, that's definitely going to go towards, you know, increased throughput and weight stagnation. No better way to do it. You know, I don't
right.
get it. Because remember, they said they didn't want everybody's one plant building everything and shipping it everywhere.
Right. The way that I'm checking out this article that you were talking about on the bribery probe was April 23rd. So this last week, it does, if I read this right, it said 10 promotion company executives have been subpoenaed to produce documents sought by federal grand jury, two sources told the news. The subpoenas mark another phase of federal corruption investigation and can lead to more criminal charges. They yielded 8 convictions, including former vice president of the UAW, Norwood Jewell, which we need to promote the sign up, the petition again, and Fiat Chrysler Automobiles. Now, it says the subpoenas are part of a broader investigation, and it does name Joe Ashton and Cindy Estrada. So they have been subpoenaed.
That's what I mean, but now I can't find nothing about it.
Right. Right. It does. Article dies real quick after that. It's like, yeah, another paragraph, and that's it. The trinkets and trash industry, the collection of the company's volume of more than $25 million spent in the last 5 years on promotion and advertising the UAW branded items at union rallies, conventions, and factories. $29 million in 5 years.
Unreal.
$5 million a year. $6 million a year for trinkets.
Yeah. Now, another thing I want to try and figure out, Scott, is this. If it goes back that far, and the money in the 90s was insane because look at the amount of employees each company had, the roll-up on that figure. Man, the money back then was, in the 80s and 90s, was just mind-boggling.
What do you think, John?
I don't think. You talk to me or John?
John.
Either one.
Oh, John.
We'll take a quarter's worth.
What's that now?
what do you think about that the trinket deal?
I think those, what I've always said and what I've always thought is that those that were in on it need to go to jail. Those that knew about it that weren't in on it still need to go to jail. And we need to get rid of all of them and start fresh.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. If you're convicted of a felony and you pled guilty to it, how can you still be on the international payroll?
It's a good question.
Well, there aren't any laws or
I believe it is in there. I'm trying to find it, but for some reason, I believe if you're a convicted felon, you're not allowed to hold office because that means you're no longer in good standings. I'm trying to find it. I'm tearing apart that Constitution, but... Man,
I think the only way that you lose it is if you're brought up on charges while you're currently in the position, and then you are removed from that position. I believe that's what the Constitution says.
And oh, so that's why it was so important that he retire.
Right. Because if you still hold the position and you're brought up on charges, which that irritates me because none of them, even the ones that knew what was going on, never brought any of those guys up on charges for the wrongdoing. But anyway, I was reading about that because we had some issues in the past and I was looking up how to remove people from office and how to remove individuals from appointed positions as well. And if I remember correctly, if they're brought up on charges and they're removed from their position, they lose everything. But only if they're currently in the position and they're brought up on charges and within the union.
I've seen that done twice, JJ, in my old plant. And that was actually when the appointed went with the membership and not with the good old boys. And what the good old boys did was, hey, this appointed guy got involved in politics. That's a big no-no. Lost their appointed job immediately.
Mm-mm-mm.
I've seen that trump card play twice on people in Metal Fab.
Well, we had a discussion with somebody that we all know.
Let me get Dick on. Dick, you're on, buddy.
Excuse me, I've got a sore throat.
Okay.
I think I said what I have to say. If you are convicted of a felony, conspiracy, or a member of a communist party, or a member of the communist party, you're done.
Thank you, Richard. You should be removed from office right then and there.
You never should have been allowed to run.
No, but if you were in office when you were convicted, you should be removed right then and there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you. I knew it was there, Scott, JJ. I just couldn't remember where. Like I said, I've been doing a lot of crap with what's going on with my Eagles over here being an Eagle number. And that's going out real good anyway, so we did good there. And I'm sorry to both of you guys. I didn't make it for Christmas dinner. I was running around, or Easter dinner. And I know everybody had a great Easter, and I want to thank the good Lord for allowing me to be here tonight.
Good excuse.
Well,
I want everybody, when you have some free time, when you're on YouTube, go to OBS Studios. I want you guys to be checking into this because I'm trying to get us onto YouTube. And everybody, I don't know if you'll all have to have OBS. I know I'll have to have OBS Studio. I want you to look at it and so you can be familiar with it. I don't think you have to put it on your computer, but you will have to have a camera. Or no, you don't, because I'll have a call-in number. Actually, if you don't want to be on camera, you can just call in. But Brian wants to move everything to YouTube also, so we can utilize that. OBS Studio, when you have time. And Zoom, Zoom. Check that out also. But go ahead, guys.
Okay.
Scott?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, as I was saying just a minute ago, and I had to look into that studio thing, definitely.
Okay. Good.
Somebody that Don and I and Jim and Richard knows was, I talked to him last week, and he believes that Norwood Jewell was paid that yearly salary, and they're trying to find out if that was considered a severance package or not. You know, we've all had a discussion about that, though.
I didn't know they got severance packages. Something. See, I don't know a hell of a lot about this stuff.
It was on that 990, Scott, that he got, what was it, $229,000 plus some other money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then he had his, you know, no child left behind fund, too.
Don't mix up the 990s with the LM2s.
Correct. Good point there.
It does show he was paid over $200,000 on the LM2.
Right. Yeah. I said 990. I did have that mixed up. Thank you, Richard. Damn it.
Does the UAW have a severance package?
That would fall under that one thing that nobody gets to see anymore. The contract for international reps.
Go ahead, Dick.
When you are in the plant, let's say you're a district committee person, all the way to a chairman, or you're going to get involved in local union politics or national politics. And so if you get elected, that comes under long-term leave of absence. So look up long-term leave of absence in the national agreement. It's not all the same money. It just looks the same.
Oh.
Somebody's getting some money, that's for sure.
Everyone on the staff.
Wow.
Is there under a long-term leave of absence. Now, also qualifying for long-term leave of absence is your military leave to do service time. This is not something new, guys.
Just something they're taking advantage of that's been in place.
It's something the UAW had when I went on the staff back in 2007, I guess.
So they've been utilizing that. Well, like I said, the language is there. They can do it. So, I don't know. It's...
Yeah.
I just think that...
In the GM Black Book, it starts on page 98 at 110 and 110A. Employees with seniority who are appointed to an appointed position or elected state or office in any of these situations, a credit union, and many things it lists. Yeah. They make up the difference in pay, but their seniority still goes and everything.
Right.
I remember how it used to work for the foreman back in the days.
Yeah, when they went per diem. Now there's the word Don and me and Scott hated. Remember that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
A foreman's per diem. That means he's really got to screw you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, they still do them. They've been doing it at our plant.
Yeah, that's right.
But they're not ours. See, before they come from working beside you, and they made them a supervisor, And it was weird as hell. They could screw you over for 20 years, and most of the time right before they got ready to retire, they would come back to the union side, hourly side, and retire that way because it was a better pension in some cases.
Yep. Right. I've known a couple of my friends that did that. Exactly.
Now you get, now you get a year, I think.
Yeah.
Or less than a year.
But now they're all contract. They didn't even get hired most of the time.
They've done away with it. They've actually hired the contractors. I'm trying to think, if Don would know one of them or not. You've been gone, what, 3 years now, Don, out of the plant?
A lot longer than that, Scott. What, 5-6 years?
Wow. Doesn't seem like it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you remember,
what's your assistant plant manager's name, Scott?
I believe it's Lopez.
No, that ain't the guy. This was a white guy over there, material. His son come into my plant, really a cool young foreman, like 19, but he had good morals, good work ethics. He told me, he says, Jim, I got to go to Pontiac, the other truck plant, where it's all tier two, because I can get hired down there, and then Daddy can bring me back up through another back door. So he left and did it that way. But, yeah, it was just weird how they – there's holes for them to do it. There's for sure nepotism. It always works, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll never go away.
It's been 10 years now since they closed the Pioneer truck plant.
That ain't close.
About that. It's not closed?
That ain't close. It's got its own standalone contract. I mean, there was a lot of people that came up in that place and were in metal fab that wanted to go back because they were building the same damn truck that you're building because we were sending parts there. But they said that was only a tier two or less plant, and those were all tier ones they got rid of. But they fell under some standalone agreement very close to the one Orion had. And they're still there.
Pontiac Metal?
Huh?
Are you sure that's not Pontiac Metal?
It's the one we used to call Pontiac East.
Ooh.
They weren't stamping parts there. They were building trucks. Because we were sending fenders, hoods, and floor pans to them like crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, because they took the old truck plant and they tore part of it down. They saved part of it. They had, I guess, the 50-foot ceiling. They kept that, and they sold that to somebody who makes movies because of the boom. It allowed for the booms to move. They had a high ceiling.
All the cranes?
Yeah. Well, the booms for the cameras and stuff. So they could be up above and, you know, different shots and stuff. And I think, wow, I have to talk with some people about that who came from there and see if they know.
Now, I don't know what they're doing at the old gear and axle. I know there's two plants left, the old plant 3 and the old plant 6. Those were, as far as I knew, the only two plants that were on the south side of Holbrook Avenue. Everything on the north side, plant 1, plant 8, plant 2, plant 4, plant 7, 1, and plant 7, 2, have all been torn down.
So these Americans, that used to be the American Axle after got, or was the American Axle after they bought them out.
Right. It was Chevrolet Gear and Axle when I hired in, and then I got a new badge, Saginaw Steering Gear Axle Plants, and then I think we became American Axle, and that was in 93, and I boogied in 95 up to Flint, and that's where my nightmare began.
Wow. That's crazy. What lead is hiring some people?
Oh, yeah.
Here, too. I put the comments out there on Working for Place to Gene. In fact, I got it right here. It is. Pull it over. It is.
They're holding a career fair on Saturday, May 4th from 9 a.m. to noon. GM will hire part-time, temporary workers at the event. The detail says this. Candidates must be available third, first, and second shifts Friday through Monday. Must be able to work in a fast-paced environment. They're responsible for assembly, machining, quality checks, tool changes, and problem-solving of manufacturing processes and equipment. Overtime hours may be required with little notice. Production Saturdays may be required. Starting wage is $15.78 per hour with potential for growth. Holiday and health care options after 90 days. And then current temporary employees may receive preference if regular full-time positions become available. Catch that last one? Current temporary employees may receive preference if regular full-time positions become available.
Hmm. And what's the starting pay again? 15 what?
15.78.
Wow.
Now, there was a couple people talking to me on our Facebook page. Oh, God, this goes back to last fall. They were tier one, but right on the cut. Everybody was laid off. They were told if they gave up tier one and went to tier two and took a $6 pay cut, they would get the work. Both these people did that. 2 weeks later, they lost their job anyway.
Wow.
That was Fort Wayne.
Beautiful.
I don't know. How can they do that with what they did to Lordstown? I thought they had to at least offer them people the damn job, don't they? But, you know, they got this auto ratio of how many temporaries they're allowed to have in a plant. I don't get that shit at all. How can you negotiate a temporary employee?
Right.
I don't know. In Kentucky, isn't Kentucky going to take some of those Lordstown people?
Well, Flint did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will all land on their feet somewhere with the gypsies again. I haven't heard name gypsies, GM gypsies, in a long time.
I posted that about a week ago. I said Mary Barr ought to be proud. She recreated the GM gypsy. How many families is she going to destroy now? I already know it. One suicide.
Wow.
Right.
The guy was told he was getting laid off and going to Fort Wayne. His old lady told him she wasn't doing that no more. And at 27 years, he decided to go in the garage and step off a ladder, I guess, is from what I was told.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And then his brother found him. Yeah, beautiful. But like I said, that's nothing new for GM. You guys, like you said, the GM gypsy. Hell, I knew people that had been in 9 plants.
Right.
9 plants?
Jeez. Yes, sir.
Wow.
You know Paul that comes on this show every once in a while?
Yeah.
Have Paul to open up to you. I think he's been in 6.
Jesus. Can't imagine
he took on Donnie Douglas once. I was so proud of him.
Donnie Douglas. That's a name from the past.
Yeah. There's a lot
Douglas.
Of things going to happen with this contract, Scott. I don't know where we're going with it, but I just don't understand why people don't really get serious as contracts are negotiated off the previous contract. We need to go back to the contract before this and bargain off the 11, because we ain't going forward if we go off this one.
No, we need to go back. We need to go back to the 2003 agreement. Funny you bring that up.
I
went through.
I agree with you, JJ, but they ain't going to let you go back any farther than the bankruptcy, because everything before, up until the bankruptcy, is not, we can't touch that. I understand what you say, but understand the way the federal damn bankruptcy laws work. They got away with all that shit.
Yes, they did.
Well, that was me. I mean, I was just going through stuff, and I was going through papers and stuff, and I was just looking at all the stuff that was from 2007 up to the bankruptcy, and then I looked at stuff from the 2011 highlights, they call them, and stuff, and I'm going, we need to go back to close to what the things that we had back in 2003.
No, if you want to be on a pipe, if you want to be on a pipe dream, you want to go back to 1982, the year before the Warren memo.
79.
No, I think 82, wasn't it? Wasn't it 82 when we gave the concessions up in 83? It was right after the contract. How we voted the contract in, and I got laid off like 3 weeks later. And it was the very first concessionary contract, I do believe.
Well, in my meeting with sellout Cindy Estrada, like I had mentioned before, she kept tooting her horn about winning the largest dollar amount contract in General Motors history for the General Motors UAW membership. And
jeez,
they're going to push that same narrative, saying that, well, we got you guys the highest dollar amount that we've ever had before. Well, costs go up. The fact is that we still have tiers. I don't care what the dollar amount is. Until we're all made whole and equal, they can take their dollar amount and shove it where the sun don't shine.
Right.
And they're going to try to push that narrative. I guarantee you they're going to try to push that narrative, this contract. And they're going to try.
Didn't we go 11 years with no pay raise?
13.
Here, stand corrected again. Thank you.
Yeah. But there's going to be a whole lot of tactics that are going to be used to try to sell this. Cause I do believe they're going to come at us with a bullshit contract, and they're not going to eliminate the tiers. They're not going to help the retirees. I think that they will strengthen the skilled trades language, which would be a good thing, but that's not enough to vote yes on.
No.
And
I think they'll offer a $7,500 signing bonus. That's my prediction. Because it's going to suck.
Well,
yeah.
The last time was 8, so.
Oh, well, then it'll be more than that, then. Oh, General Motors was 8? Wow.
Well,
no.
Chrysler's was.
No, ours was 5, I think it was. Wasn't it, Scott? Jimmy?
No, this last contract was.
I can't remember.
God, what was it?
It was. I thought it was $7,500 signing bonus.
Either that or Ford got 500 less than us.
That's
and then Chrysler was quite a bit lower than us.
Yeah, I think we got 8. Ford got 7,500, and I think Chrysler got like 4 grand, if I remember right.
And that'll carry the country.
We all need to walk as one. The Detroit 3 needs to be one when it comes to Pickett. No plant by plant. I mean, Scott, how many times have we seen a pick GM and pick a plant right when we're changing over from the GM, what was it, 600 to the 800 truck? What better way to end a production model than take the plant out on strike for 3 months? Wow, we sold the whole entire production line out. Why? Because they were on strike and we weren't building a new one. I mean, that was a strike for the company if there ever was.
I agree with you, Jim. There's, in this day and age, with our numbers, our strength is going to be us uniting together for General Motors.
I mean, you look over in Europe, when their truckers go on strike, what happens? The whole damn country goes out. They just shut everything. They just stop the trucks on the freeway, get out, smoke a pipe, have a beer, whatever, maybe even shoot a glass of wine. Hell, I don't know, but everybody gets involved.
Right, because they're going to pull out every dirty tactic in the book, and they're going to try to sell fake job security this coming contract, which they tried to do that with us, with Chrysler last time, in putting this promised work in our highlights that all never happened, because the 2500, according to our highlight last time, was supposed to be moved to Warren Truck from Mexico, and that didn't happen, and it's not going to happen now. So we're going to have to be aware of that and not fall for that line of crap again either. I imagine they'll try to use the fear and scare tactics again. We'll have to make sure that we stand together and call them out, and not accept anything less than equality, and get back what we had lost, and I want to see some gains as well. Especially since
I agree. I agree with what you said, but on the scare tactics, I expect that. But I don't want to hear that shit from my own union leaders. You hear me out there, homeboys? Don't tell me how rough it is going to be on strike. We know you're going to get paid 24/7 like you bastards always do, because you're there to negotiate. They get paid, people.
Right.
Yeah. They don't have to go through any hardships. We're the ones that do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Do the job you appointed yourself to do.
Right. I think the timing of the Volkswagen, I think that's playing into this whole thing too. As far as public perception, maybe. Could be wrong.
I think you're 100% right there, Scott.
Labor Notes put out a good article about that. Mike Heron from Spring Hill touted the profit sharing. So, you know, saying that Volkswagen only pays $100, $500, or $1,000 on merit, on the profit sharing, I believe. And I don't know. I don't come across the wrong way. Just if you're going to vote to bring the UAW in, I would definitely research everything. The problem is that. You know what I mean?
Be smart. Anybody? That's just like everybody, and I understand, on our rollout of our contract, they give you a little thing called the highlights, whatever. You got 24 hours to understand it and go vote for it. But if you don't go and vote, don't show up at the hall, and you just walk in and vote no when it comes time to vote, you're going to grab somebody's balls with a little elect. What do you mean nobody showed up? You couldn't. Somebody had to come. Well, they're appointed people, but, yeah, none of the membership showed up. If everybody just stayed away from them rollout meetings, and then came and vote no, you know the statement that would say. That's why I have the respect I have for John, J.J., Brian, and Chrysler workers. They did vote no.
Yes, they did.
Yes, yes. You're right.
Yeah. And then they didn't even get what they were offered when they had to vote the second time. They took shit away and told them that was the best they could do. Nothing left on the table, right, Norwood?
Yeah, okay.
Kool-Aid, man.
That's what they all say. And
our shop chairman all come back and said the same thing. We didn't leave nothing on the table. Sure they did. They left money on that table.
Well, no, they
we
don't
lie now.
Don't put it in their own pockets.
That's right. I mean, you don't lie now, don't we?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, they got to make 10 years of record billion-dollar profit, multi-billion-dollar profits, and it only cost them, what was it, $470,000? It was $4 million, $4.5 million, right?
Yeah, I mean, the last labor study I saw on the cars, labor's down to, what is it, less than 8% of the cost of a vehicle now?
Wow.
When the industry standard back in the 60s, 70s, 80s was 25%. Yeah, they're getting over on us. We're working to kill ourselves, doing this repetitious work, blowing our shoulders, our knees, our backs, ankles, and they just want to dump on us.
And the emotional stress,
the psychological stress
that puts on you.
Right. The physical doesn't even take into account the emotional, what they've been doing to us, how they've kept us divided and anxious and stressed.
Like Jim talked about.
Yeah, what are you doing with your phone?
We're going to take care of you. And then they turn around and they close plants and lay off workers and move workers around, disrupting our family lives, putting us on alternate work schedules that take us away from our family. And I don't think people realize the true cost of that alternate work schedule. When you're working a 10-hour day, depending on how far away you live from the plant, you could be spending 12 hours of your day for work. That takes away from your family life. That takes away from taking care of your home, your yard. You know, our time is just as valuable as theirs.
That's right.
And that's why I don't think, because I was talking to a couple of folks about the ultimate. Some of the younger guys are saying, "Oh, I only have to work 4 days." And then I said, "Go back to that."
Hold on, John. John, hold on for a minute. Who's making all the noise? Please mute your phone if you're moving around doing something, because it's distracting.
Sounds like something's snoring.
Yeah. Go ahead,
but
John.
But one thing, John, I want everybody to realize, do you realize how proud I am of this workforce we call the Detroit 3? We not only take the cheapest part available on the planet, we take a third-class product, and we build their products with these third-class products. Yet when there's a product failure, it's not very rare is it from our labor. It's from the third-class part that we're handed to make this product to make it. Yet that cost is deducted from our labor's profit sharing. Now, how tame is that system?
Well, sure, and that kind of goes along and supports, you know, what I'm saying about with the alternate work schedule and our time being valuable, and you know, talking to the folks at the plant, and that 6-2-1-20 schedule, you work 2 out of 3 weekends. So every 3 weeks, you get 1 weekend off, but it's a long 5-day weekend, and it sounds good initially. Until you realize how many days in a row that you're working to finally get that 5 days off. And then when you start adding the hours that you're away from your family for those days until you get to that long weekend, it truly isn't worth it. Not in our health, studies are clear. They're out there for anyone to look up. Whenever we work more than 8 hours, we start to lose our mental acuity and our physical strength. We become fatigued. That puts us at risk for injury. And the older you get, the more susceptible you are to that. So for the young folks out there that like to have those long weekends, it sounds great, but to be able to maintain that, you're selling your life short by an undue hardship brought on by that screwy, unhealthy, unsafe schedule. So it may seem good short term, but long term, it's going to break your body down even more. We already have too many members in the UAW that suffer from chronic pain and illnesses brought on by this work. And I think we should be coming together and getting back our 8-hour workday as well, because I value my life and my time. I don't want to put myself in an early grave. I want to see my grandkids playing baseball and basketball or football or whatever in high school. I want to be around and I want to be able to move around to get there. I don't want to be crippled and stuck in my house.
That's a good point. Good point.
Yeah, so the alternate work schedule, it does. I've worked it, and it is nice having that long time off. But when you look at what it takes to get there,
there's nothing nice about that schedule, JJ. Nothing.
It destroys the family.
Even if you're a single person and you got kids, how do you get a babysitter to rotate that schedule?
Exactly. It makes things difficult.
Right.
And we do have lots of single parents.
Yes, we do. I was one. With custody.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, and, that's a tough road to haul. And, man, to be transferring shifts, what is that? Every 2 weeks you go to another shift?
Right. Well, 6-2-1-20 schedule, you stay on a straight shift. It's just the days that you work shift each week. So 1 week you work Wednesday through Saturday, and then the next week you work Monday, Tuesday, have Wednesday, Thursday off, and then you work Friday, Saturday. And then you come back the next week, and then you work Monday through Thursday, and then you have a long weekend.
All
so
right.
Your days are constantly shifting, so you never have the same day off, so you can't plan or schedule a life. If you like golfing and want to do a golf league or a bowling league, you can't do it because your days of working always change.
And it conflicts.
That's crazy.
Right.
Well, I did a study from here in 93, and when I went down to Lordstown, them poor people there, they were doing 2 weeks on days, then 2 weeks on seconds, then 2 weeks on thirds, and then they had another two crews that worked the weekends. And I mean, that's
now,
what I said, man, how... Heck, how can you do any family work there at all like that? And then they said they were going to some other thing called four crews, two shifts, where they could run the plant 12 hours a day and never touch overtime. because they would work you 3 days, 2 days off, then come back, work you 3 days, then 2 days off. And then at one given point, you would get 4 days off.
Didn't Saturn have some kind of two-week schedule like that or something in that area?
Dick would have to relevate on that. I can't speak, but I believe Saturn also went with something like that.
I think they did. And
you know, and that's the thing, you know, they want us to buy into this profit sharing, right? Well, working those alternative work schedules, that cuts into our profits because now they're working a 6-day work schedule in order to get 120 hours worth of work, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we worked a regular 3 8-hour shift, 5-day schedule, that means that the plant could be saving on energy costs by not having to run on a Saturday. They only run Monday through Friday. And now they're Monday through Saturday, an extra day for energy costs to run the plant and all the machines and everything for that extra day, which cuts into our profits. Also, that they can get away with saying we get to make people work for a straight time on Saturday.
Yeah, but they're going to throw paragraph 8 at us. It's their plant. They're going to run it how they see fit. I understand. But like I said, there again, those recalls and those part failures, we had no choice in saying what part to buy, like the Takata airbag. They knew it was a piece of shit, but they kept buying it. Hell, we made that same airbag, Delphi. Was it Delphi Scout or Saginaw Steering Gear? We made an airbag, but it was more money.
Right.
Yeah, we should be penalized for their mistakes and parts, other third world.
Instead of giving me $12,000 a year profit sharing, you give it to me over the course of 12 months, I'll take the roll up in my pension. Shit, I'll be a happy mother. Oh, yeah. You do that 4 or 5 years, Scott, our pensions go up astronomically. Now, that profit-sharing bullshit, all that's doing is that's a benefit for them because, and bottom line, you're saving them money by taking that profit-sharing instead of having it added to your pay scale, like I'm saying, because if it goes to your pay scale, it affects everything.
Oh, Mary Barra loves it, like you said. You know, her compensation for last year was $22 million. That doesn't include, you know, I said a compensation, but I don't think that includes her stock option.
No, you're correct. It does not. That's what I'm saying. $87.3 billion, people, and that didn't include her stock options.
How much did you say? 87 billion with a B?
Yes, I posted it on our page. You can Google it. Mary Barra's net worth. It'll come up out of a Washington, D.C. ad paper, and it says she's worth 87.3, I believe it was, with a B. Go ahead and keep talking. I'm going to find it again. This is it.
Wow.
Go ahead, keep going. I'll find it.
All right. You know, as we talk, you know, about this contract and stuff, GMAuthority.com, they put it out there, and they were basically reiterating what Automotive News said. They said that the UAW does not want to do one unified national strike. So the Automotive News reported something to the UAW and said favors a targeted strike strategy, which could be just as effective. I don't think it will be. And they've done it before. If you remember, I don't know, John, how long you've been around. Do you remember the American Axle strike?
Yes.
I think it was 14. Yeah, I got 14. I'll have 14 years at the end of this month. And I think when I first hired him, that was going on, or just starting, wasn't it? But back then.
Yeah, and it ended up shutting down all the assembly plants eventually, but it was a trickle down. It took a while. Some plants went out much quicker than other ones did.
And the thing is that allows the company still can make money while we have our brothers and sisters out on the street not getting jack.
And that's what Jimmy was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah.
I never
you that target.
That's why we got to get rid of tears, man.
What's that?
That's why we got to get rid of tears. We're fighting ourselves over bullshit instead of fighting the monster that's causing it.
Right. I agree. I'm just letting you know that that's what this current leadership is looking forward to, is that it's not a unified national strike, but a targeted strike.
Yeah.
I can't remember. So, you know, it's... I don't agree with that, but...
Jerry Jones wants to target strike. That's when the hell, hang on, I just seen that right here.
That just goes to show that they haven't changed their tactics. They haven't changed their stance on putting themselves before the membership.
That was an article April 26th.
Or their partners, their business partners.
Yeah.
You know, now, if you guys haven't been paying attention, it escalated. It escalated rather quickly. They went out on strike, and I'm talking about the UFCW people, the Stop and Shop, if you guys haven't been following. It escalated. They went out on strike. They were out just about a week, and last Monday morning, almost a week ago, at 7:30 a.m., everybody was supposed to go back, all the regular daytime, full-time people, which has to go back to work at 7:30 in the morning. So I'm just saying it was a strike, and they all went out, all of them. And it hurt. And we've seen some people who crossed the picket line, and they actually come out, and they thank all the customers, Stop and Shop. They thank the Teamsters who coming behind these people and would not cross their picket line to bring in supplies to the stores. It was quite a concerted effort when it was all said and done. Like I told you, I think 2 weeks ago we had a show, I told you about the driver went to pull in, and they stopped. They told him he was on strike and the picket line, and he had them guys help him back his rig back out, and down the road he went. So, you know, it was that was another union supporting this union, and hopefully we get the same thing in return if it happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's how good they're supposed to work. They're supposed to be working and supporting each other.
Right, right, and well. You know, we're going to be going to 8:30, so we have about 20 minutes. A couple things else I want to run at you guys real quick. Not to change the subject, but General Motors, they're missing the boat. If you guys haven't been paying attention, but this last week, Ford's going to invest $500 million into the Rivian for the new electric truck. I think that deal went through with General Motors and Amazon, and Ford's jumping all over this. I think that really struck me. Anybody else been following that?
Way of the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know the General Motors once.
No, somebody, I can't remember who it was, posted an article or comment. Maybe it was Brian. I don't remember who it was. But anyway, the gist of it was that not understanding how Ford, General Motors can spend hundreds of millions and billions of dollars investing into the wave of the future, right, when any kind of profits from that are years off, yet they refuse to invest in the good men and women that are here now that are making the vehicles that are making them profits right now. It is a little baffling as to them spending that kind of money on something that they're not going to see returns for many, many years, because there are not, and I'm one of them, I am not going to be purchasing an electronic or electric vehicle or an autonomous vehicle. I enjoy driving. I like being in control of my car, and I drive too many miles. There's no infrastructure for these electric vehicles whatsoever that is convenient. And, you know, if I take a trip up north, you know, I live in Irish Hills, it takes, it's almost 300 miles to get to Alpena. There's not enough juice in the battery to go that far. So, for me, there's no way I'm going to buy a vehicle like that, because it's not practical for me.
Right.
So...
And
I know that there's a lot of other people that feel the same way. So right now they're spending all kinds of billions of dollars on basically a niche market.
Right. And I think with the market that you're talking about is this mentality with, I've seen, it's not just kids now, it's kids and young adults now, who have their face in their phone all the time. We had somebody that we know had to have a double bypass this last week. And my wife went up to help his wife, I want to say last Tuesday night, and about got ran over by these two young physician assistants or whatever. They were in gowns and scrubs and stuff. They come out across this room, never looked in the hall. They said both of them have their face down in their phone. He's the kind of guy that wants to buy, or the kind of person that I believe, in my opinion, wants to buy a fully autonomous vehicle, so they sit there and play on their phone. They, you know what I mean? The social media or whatever they're doing. That way they can just be in their car wherever they're going to go and do what they're going to do, and the car can do it. I'm like you. I enjoy driving, having control of my vehicle. And then, of course, you got people who think, you know, there's an application for electric vehicles. Yes, there certainly is applications for vehicles that people are going to do short commutes, or because the size of vehicles in maybe the larger city. That might help. But as far as, like you said, going up north or pulling a trailer or anything like that, they ain't going to get it.
Well, Scott, Tesla brags that it goes 300 miles on a charge. You know, that Tesla's bragging 300 miles a charge on that one. Because I thought, wow, that's a lot better than what I'd ever heard. And I don't know how they're doing with that vehicle. Remember, are we not supplying the military? Why am I thinking we're supplying the military right now with a trial version that they actually paid? Remember me and you talked about that once?
Right.
And we don't hear shit about that, yet the government bought them vehicles, and they're actually doing prototype work, building it, and getting paid for it. So that's a win-win-win for Mary. And by the way, folks, she is worth $63.4 billion as of February 10th, 2019. This does not include her huge signing bonuses. or any other bonuses assigned to her CEO job.
Wow.
And that is posted on workers, workplaces, and unions. April 25th. I knew I'd read that somewhere.
Big dances.
Pretty good. Well, if you look what she's done for the stockholders, how she's paid every quarter, she's paid huge dividends.
Yeah, she's paying dividends.
You know, and that this does. And remember, that figure doesn't include stock options either. We know she got a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But no, I don't know. How do you bargain with somebody like that when you got somebody that's supposed to be representing you that's representing their own right and left pocket that we ain't supposed to know about, but now we know about? What is the government going to do? And it doesn't look like they're going to do nothing knowing we're going into negotiations with tainted contracts to negotiate off. Where the hell is the RICO people? I mean, this has got that shit written all over it, or I don't know, maybe I need a carbon monoxide sensor in the house. Oh, I don't know.
I agree. RICO people should be all over this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that I think they're in on it, and they're controlled and told what to do and when to do it. Because, God, we don't want to hurt the stock market, for crying out loud.
Oh, hell no.
Right. Right.
I agree.
I want to see what's going to happen. Because, Scott, if you're seeing this shit, they're saying $4.50 a gallon by the end of summer. Anytime that goes over $3 a gallon, it usually makes the truck market suck donkey.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Barrel oil is went down.
And she's got out of cars on the North American planet, you know, or whatever you want to call it, North America. So, hell, we're not even going to be supporting our own selves. I mean, shit, I don't get it. Yeah, she's a global country, you know. She's a global pocketbook.
Yeah, but it's disgusting.
Right.
I don't care what excuses they make for the rising in gas prices. It's all a lie. And they're the ones that make out, and the rest of the country, the rest of the American people suffer. And,
yep.
And it is completely unfair, because at the cost of a barrel of oil currently, we should not be paying the prices that we're paying. And they're artificially inflating prices. And if you look at the profits that the oil industry is making, they are still to this day making record profits, and we taxpayers are paying them subsidies still, and they're still making record profits, and they're still receiving subsidies. This is crap. This is nothing more than the wealthy stealing from the working class, and nobody does or says anything about it, and we're producing more oil than we have in our history. We produce more than enough for ourselves, and we have sweet oil. We have sweet crude, which is easier and cheaper to refine.
Right.
So our gas prices should be dirt ass cheap.
Yeah.
Our gas
the market
buck a gallon.
Yeah, the cost of a barrel of oil closed Friday officially at $62 a barrel.
And it went down Friday. It went down pretty good Friday. It got up to 65 earlier in the week. And 66, rather. And that's when you've seen the gas zoom up to $2.89 a gallon.
Yep.
I should drop back down a little bit.
And like John says, you know, there's two or three different ways they manipulate the whole market. I mean,
and we're going to leave Congress right out of this because they got their paws in it too. But one way is by not having enough refineries. So when you have a refinery in Texas or Louisiana or in Florida, or you have the big oil rigs out in the Gulf of Mexico and a hurricane comes in, you automatically see our gas prices get spiked. And when you don't have enough refineries.
You know they get all that oil free? They get all the oil
that?
Free. Because I worked on the oil wells up and gas wells up in northern Michigan for 3 years. There is not one gauge that measures what they take out of the ground in gas or crude oil. You look at it, how many cubic feet? Don't know. Don't have a gauge. How many gallons? Don't know. None of that is metered. Whatever they take,
right.
They take. They don't pay the – how the hell do you pay? I thought they had to pay the government for what they were taking out of the ground, but if you don't know what you're taking out of the ground, how do you pay for it? And I know for a fact down in the Gulf of Mexico when they had that big oil spill, there was a big thing about that the government was just letting them take it because it was deep well drilling and it was so costly. So they got all that shit free.
Yeah, that's
right,
crap.
Right.
That's our. We as a country, we own that oil and they're getting it for free and they're raping us. Absolutely
yeah,
raping
right. Right, and what they do with oil,
disgusting.
What they do with oil is not only do they not have enough refineries so they can manipulate the price of the gas and diesel and whatnot, but then when you get to the oil, when we have our national so-called oil reserves, what they do is we're supposed to have those capped off, and of course, which I think we do now, but they won't. A couple years ago, they got into them. If they go to Wall Street and you have, Don, you have to help me. What is it? The guys that deal with the oil trade.
OPEC?
I can't think of the name.
Talking about OPEC?
No. The guys on Wall Street that do the trading for oil. They manipulate the market. Yeah, it's like a broker, but what they do is they just deal with natural resources. Basically,
commodity.
Gas and oil. Commodities,
yeah.
Thank you. Commodity traders. They do what they do, they call future trading on commodities. And what
the
they'll
futures,
do is,
yeah.
As, yeah, what they'll do is they'll bust this price up for whatever reason. Something happens, you get a fire or something, that runs these prices up. Like John says, the price of barrel of oil might be $50. Which should be putting us at about $1.25 per gallon of gas. But we set that aside. So what happens is they skyrocket. They really spike the price on this stuff, manipulate. That's what I'm looking for. And they manipulate the price, bring this up. So what they do is they at the end of the day, they deplete that. And they say you're taking a loss on the end of the day. And then what they do is, as people don't know, the market's still open. We and I can't trade, but they get an extra half an hour. And when they come back the next day, they buy their own stocks again at the depreciated level and jack it back up to the day. They're making money on it. And the whole time, it's never really changed. You know, you're still
yeah,
doing that. Just, yeah.
Scott. They do have, we do have enough refineries. Just before our last contract, right around 2013, I believe it was, there was a headline in the news because gas prices were coming down, right? And they were
right.
Afraid gas was going to go under $2 a gallon. And the oil
right.
industry shut down in this country 4 refineries across the country just so that they
right.
could keep the gas prices up. We
right.
have
keep them escalating.
They should. How can you? I don't see how our government, who's supposed to be looking out for the people, could allow them to manipulate that the way that they did, that's wrong.
Well, because
sons of bitches,
it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Billions. I mean, hundreds of billions.
Billions of dollars. And what happens
they make
is
hundreds of billions, though. They make over $400 billion a year.
And that's probably just on the top five oil companies. That's probably the top five. But what they do is these people bankroll lobbyists. 4 minutes. They bankroll lobbyists. They bankroll some politicians on both sides of the aisle here. Money talks, right? And that's how some of this stuff is allowed to happen. It's crazy. I agree. You got the market fighting against you.
We the people don't take a stand.
I agree.
No doubt about that.
I mean,
you have about 3 minutes, Scott.
Right. So, all right. I apologize. Real quick, it doesn't say how many people they're going to hire, but the Fiat Chrysler said that they are going to hire the Detroiters. And they're going to invest $13.8 million into the community improvements, education, and workforce training as part of its $2.5 billion investment in the Jefferson North and Mack Avenue Assembly Plant. And they said that they're going to give the Detroiters a first-chance shot before the general public for these jobs.
That's good.
So, but,
that's
of course,
good.
Like I said so ago, it's still all contingent on that pending land deal.
Mm-hmm.
200 acres, and it's all hinging on that, what they call it, the Duggan administration, this deal. And I think Don talked about that a little bit, about some people who kind of own that property, right?
Right.
Yeah. So. All right.
Yep.
So
next week, I hope. Go ahead, Scott.
No, I was just going to say that next week, hope we keep talking about what we're talking about.
That's,
go ahead.
No, that's not Mother's Day, is it, next week?
No.
Okay.
We got the second weekend of May.
Oh, she said we have 90 seconds. We must still be on.
Right.
90 seconds. But, May 12th. Next week, I want to hear a lot more from Dick Dangin because there's a lot of people who like to hear from Dick and see what his thoughts are. But I hope his throat feels a hell of a lot better because I was crying when he was talking. Oh, my God, it sounds terrible. Sounds like he's in pain.
Yes, it did.
Oh, and I appreciate you, Dick, coming on. And I want to hear more, if you're able to, next week on what's your thoughts on what's going on. Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, that sounds like a plan. That sounds like a plan.
All right. On behalf of Scott, Jimmy, Dick, John, Brian, and Marty, and I don't know who in the hell else joins this show, but thank you very much. On behalf of the UAW Factory Whistle Show, we'll be back next Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Anybody have any parting words?
Peace out, brothers and sisters.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.